Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rewatchers Council. Welcome back, Adelia. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Snark.
Well, I wasn't gonna, I would imagine, but I didn't want to, I didn't think you. Anyways, doesn't matter. Guys, what an episode. School hard. We're gonna go through today. Some people waiting for school hard. Because the introduction of a couple new characters,
I was so excited when they showed up in this episode.
one being Sheila Martini.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was excited for Sheila.
Everybody was waiting for Sheila and stuff like a brief appearance, but also memorable. Sheila
Oh, yeah.
also appearing in the debut episode for Spike and Drusilla. We'll go through that in a minute. Original air date. Want to guess? Just kidding. September 29th, 1997. It was written by David Greenwalt, who did lots of course, the Angel-ish episodes. Now, directed by John T. Kretschmer, and he's done a bunch of television stuff, like Criminal Minds, going back into Mindy Hunter, which is a favorite of mine. But he was also an assistant director, was at first assistant director on a couple of movies. He was first assistant director on Naked Gun. He was the first assistant director on Jurassic Park, of all things. And then,
Interesting.
now he's like executive producing stuff. He's the executive producer on the 13 Reasons Why. If you remember that Netflix one, I believe it had the one first season where everyone was like, holy shit. And then the second one was like, why did he even bother with the second one? Also, though, he's the executive producer on Riverdale. So there you go.
Oh.
Have you ever seen Riverdale?
I've seen the pilot episode of Riverdale, and I was like, eh, I'm good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. I don't know if that interests me too much. It interests me as about as much as the Pooniverse that's going to be coming
Oh,
out here,
God.
Adelia. The
That's
Winnie
ridiculous.
the Pooniverse, for God's sakes. You know what? I do enjoy the name. I enjoy the name, I think, much more than I'll ever enjoy any of the movies that they will ever put out, and I'll never watch them. But anyways, it's a good name. Number one movie that week, Adelia, The Peacemaker. Remember that one?
No.
I went to see this. I remember even sitting down in the theater to see this. It's George Clooney and Nicole Kidman. I couldn't tell
Okay.
you what it's, I could not tell you what it's about at all. Highly forgettable film, but went to number one. Good for them. The number one U.S. song still "Honey." The number one U.K. song still "Candle in the Wind." That's not going to change for a little bit yet. Of course, one
Yeah.
of the most successful songs, if not the most successful song, definitely the most successful song of the '90s,
Definitely, definitely.
of all time. Now, DVD synopsis time, Adelia.
Okay.
Buffy's mother gets trapped inside Sunnydale High School when a vampire named Spike arrives in town and launches an attack against the Slayer. It's not
Mean,
just Joyce, but yeah, whatever.
yeah, definitely part of it, for
Yeah.
sure.
Now, we're gonna start at the school this time. We get Principal Snyder back, Adelia. He says that it's in his office. He's telling a couple students that he's the judge, the jury, and the executioner. Just what you want out of
Oh, yeah.
your educators,
Exactly what a high school principal should be.
right? Now, we finally get to meet Sheila Martini. I didn't even know her. She had a last name. I don't believe it's mentioned.
Look
It's
at this.
in the IMDb thing for her. So I said, well, I might as well throw it in because it's fun. But yeah. Martini, all right, whatever. It's played by Alexandra Jones. I think it's Jones. It's spelled like John with an ES. So it could be Johns. Who knows?
I don't know.
Not too much in the way of acting, but she was in Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. I guess she had a part in The NeverEnding Story as well. But
Okay.
she's also a producer. She produced that Aretha Franklin documentary, "Amazing Grace," about her singing in the church or whatever, and also an executive producer on one of your favorite, I know this is going to be one of your favorite movies. The Witch. The Witch, Adelia. That one with like the two V's. Witch.
No.
No. Yeah, I will not watch that movie as well. I get it. All right. Like, when it comes to the scary stuff, like this show is like, it's like it. That may be Stranger Things. That's it. Now. Okay. Sheila is in detention with Buffy. Buffy's there as well, everybody. Don't worry. She's in detention for stabbing a teacher with pruning shears. I think that's a pretty light sentence.
I can't believe that just gets you detention. Like, that should get you a lot more.
Yeah. You know, people say they have it pretty tough or whatever back then. It's like, well, you were allowed to stab people with gardening implements and not get charged with attempted murder. You get maybe a couple days detention for it. So whatever. Yeah. Buffy's detention is for arson. So there you go.
At a different school.
Yeah. Well, I think they're assuming that the old science lab was her fault.
Maybe. So, yeah.
In the one of the rare bits of continuity when it comes to something like that for this show, it's not its strongest suit. Now, do you remember Parent Teacher Night at all?
I do.
Do you ever remember streamers and signs and refreshments?
Here's what I remember about Parent Teacher Night. The students were not at it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Nothing ever happened. Your parents would go sit down, and usually in large groups of people. If once in a while there might be a one-off thing. You wouldn't meet the principal. The principal wouldn't care less. Principal is the job. Yeah. Principal's job is bossing around the teachers. Come on, guys. Come on. Anyways, they have to set up the school for parent teacher night. The making the snacks. I can't wait to talk about that in a second. And if they screw up again, making the refreshments like slave work, making the refreshments and banners for this thing, they get expelled. So whatever.
Yeah.
Sheila looks like though, may have a bad attitude.
Maybe.
Yeah. And she may have a boyfriend named Meat Pie.
Crazy.
People name people different things. Like, everybody nowadays is named like Skylar or Taylor, stuff like that. Back in my day, everyone was named after food. There was Meat Pie, Shepherd's Pie, Adelia. That was a common name. I remember growing up with a man named Corn Cob. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea why. Anyways, Xander jinxes the whole group by saying, as long as nothing really bad happens, you'll be fine. Willow, Buffy, not impressed by this because, of course,
rightfully angry with him about this.
Yes,
put it into the universe, Xander. This is your fault.
Jinx, the double jinx. Now, next, we see someone run over the Welcome to Sunnydale sign, Adelia. You may want to keep note of that. A bleach blonde vampire in an overcoat lights up a smoke and says in a British accent, "Home sweet home." All right, which is a weird thing to say for a guy who's never been there before. If you ask me. Of course, that's James Marster. He is he'll be playing Spike for the rest of the show and into Angels last season. It's a couple of things about him. He went to Juilliard. And he's from California. He's from Modesto, California, just in case you guys don't know.
I'm so used to him as Spike. I've never seen him in anything else. That when I see like an interview with him from like a convention or something he's gone to, and he speaks in his natural American accent, it's very strange.
Yeah, I think the regular like interviews with him are always very strange, whatever. But he also had a band for a little while. I think he still makes music. He was Brainiac as well in the Smallville series. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not.
I've never seen Smallville, so
yeah. There'll be a lot of James Marster's stories as the episodes go on here. It's just, you know, it's an important time to talk about this guy a little bit, though. Probably the most debated character on the show, I would imagine, with people either loving or hating him. I don't think there's actually an in-between. He is, you know, the favorite to many people, and it's unforgivable what he does to others, maybe including me. Now, last time with Ferris, we made up a word.
Okay.
We made up a word called an unpleasantness. An unpleasantness of vampires. So, we get to see an unpleasantness of vampires here. And of course, they're in the presence of the anointed, and they decide whoever kills the Slayer this time gets to be the new leader. And then there's another knight now. Like these vampires, they have more holidays than
they do.
Every other church, it seems.
They really do.
Put together, they enjoy their rites, their eves. But coming up very soon, the Knight of St. Vigis, Adelia, one of your favorites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, the one who's been talking, of course, says he was at the crucifixion. I looked it up, and his name for this guy is Big Ugly.
Big Ugly.
I don't think it's a name that was used, but he's Big Ugly in the IMDb. He's played by a man named Gregory Scott Cummins. He was on Bosch. He did It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, NCIS, NCIS LA, Bones, so all the ones that Ferris would watch. Spike shows up, and he says this, and if every vampire said that they were at the crucifixion, was there, it would look like Woodstock. And then says, I was at Woodstock. I fed off a flower person, and I spent the next 6 hours looking at my hand move, and I can 100% relate. Not about the eating people, but all right. I just want to put that out there. It's not about eating people, but, you know, I can relate. But this is what I was thinking. Woodstock's a 3-day event in July. Where did he stay during the day? I wonder if he just, like, crawled under the stage or something. How do you have gotten there? Anyways, he brags to the anointed that he's killed a couple slayers in his time, and he does love to brag, and this is one of his greatest traits. I would say he is a bit of a bragger. Let's see a lady named Drusilla enter the room, and Spike immediately switches from vamp face, of course. Now, Drusilla is played by Juliet Landau, as I think you know, previous to Buffy. She was in Pump Up the Volume, which I thought was fun. And she was on Parker Lewis Can't Lose as well. I don't know if you remember that show.
But I do.
I love that show. I think it was the lead up to Simpsons or whatever on Thursday nights.
I don't remember what it led into, but I do remember the show.
Yeah, I know it was around the Simpsons. It was either before or after. She was also in Ed Wood, Adelia. That's where her father won his Oscar for playing Bela Lugosi. Her father's Martin Landau. And that's also where a certain showrunner noticed her and offered her this part. She didn't have to audition. She was given the part. I guess they just felt she was right. Even Marsters had to audition. That's the word. How come I couldn't think of it? Anyways, they did practice not just with the British accent. It was almost a Cajun accent. Could you imagine a Creole Spike?
I'm really glad it's not a Cajun accent.
Yeah. Especially, yeah, they make a joke later about Anne Rice and stuff like that. It's like, it feels like you might as well just have Lestat or somebody like that if you want.
Yeah.
That's a Creole Spike. Wouldn't have made sense. Anyways, since then, she's done lots of voiceover work, like tons of voiceover work, video games. Like, I think she was even in Knights of the Old Republic, all kinds of DC movies and stuff like that, from Lois Lane to Talia al Ghul. Yeah, played lots of stuff. And, of course, she was in that Slayers Audible book, which series, I guess. It's not a book. I can't believe I still haven't listened to it yet. I'll have to do that soon. Anyways, yes, I absolutely love Drew. When it comes to Spike and Drew, of course, I'm always going to be on Team Drew. But
I love Drusilla. Absolutely love Drusilla.
She's the best. Drew is drawn to Colin the Anointed because she has that mystical part to her, which we'll learn more about. Obviously, there's something wrong with Drew's mental health. I think that they make it pretty clear.
Yeah.
And she cuts Spike's cheek and licks the blood off him. Obviously, that can't be. That's not nutritious, right? Even for a vampire, that's not can't be great.
I wouldn't think so.
No, you know, it's cold for one thing. I don't think they like cold blood. I thought they would gross them out. Anyways, he says that he'll kill the Slayer, or Spike, sorry, says he's going to kill the Slayer for all these jerk vampires, and also offers to compare wrinklies with them, Adelia.
Yeah.
Comparing wrinklies. I'm guessing it means raisins or dates. Something like that, or apricots, maybe. Anyways, he asks him if the Slayer's tough, and then you cut to Buffy hurting herself, brushing her hair. One of my favorite edits.
That was a great cut.
The show so far. Joyce comes in. She's questioning Buffy, of course, on parent-teacher night, and then immediately jumps on her about kicking out of her last school. And I just wrote a little note. At what point does this become abuse? Because it seems every conversation they're putting it in, they're drilling into her, all this is your fault because you burned down another school. Which is 50% true. She did burn down that other school in this universe. But you know, they're full of vampires. Back at school, Will's helping Buffy with the signs. She says that sometimes she goes to another bar called the Fish Tank. Now, another bar, Adelia.
Another bar.
These people are 16 years old. They have two underage bars to choose from. And I guess the Fish Tank must be bad because they never go to this bar.
Yeah.
Little hole-in-the-wall bar for teens, I suppose. I don't get it. Will mentions that. Mila mentions that they're going to the Bronze that night. Well, obviously. And what else are you going to do? You're going to sit around and drink on your 16 at the bar? Giles and Jenny show up. And it turns out she's done research on the night of St. Vigius. Giles gets quite upset that Buffy's more worried about school than St. Vigius night. Snyder shows up just as he's about to say Slayer, but he covers by saying slaves. They're all slaves to television. I don't think kids are slaves to television anymore.
I don't think so either.
Probably like phones. Like you could give a kid an old phone or something, like cell phone, and they'll play around with that thing forever. But as far as television, I don't know. Snyder notices no Sheila, smells an expulsion coming on, but Buffy covers just as an absolutely wasted Sheila arrives. Sheila also thinks it's cool that Buffy is a serial arsonist.
Yep. I don't think that's very cool, but Sheila certainly did.
She was hammered. She actually played pretty well, just kind of leaning up against the thing. It's like, oh, I recognize that. Anyways, over to the Bronze. Now, the band playing there is called Nickel. The song they're playing is called Stupid Thing. And if you recognize them, I don't know how, because I think they broke up immediately, like after this and stuff like that.
Did not recognize them or that song at all.
No, I don't think it was ever a huge hit and stuff like that. But just doing research on the thing, somebody wrote on Reddit or whatever that they liked the song and stuff like that. And the guitar player, I guess, said, well, hi, I'm the guitar player and I sang and wrote the song and da-da-da, and they talked about it and gives us the whole history on Nickel. I got to learn an awful lot about those guys in a couple of sentences. I thought it was nice of him to do, but very, very strange. more bar time studying going on for Buffy and Willow this time. Buffy's trying to parle français un petit peu. She isn't doing too well. She says something about Thursdays giving her the couch or something like that. Thursday cows are giving her the couch or something like that. Willow thinks that the reason Buffy is so unfocused is because she misses Angel Adelia.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sad. Xander shows up. Everyone goes to dance, you know, at a respectable difference from each other this time. Okay. Yeah. You know, no one's going to accidentally get pregnant. That kind of dancing. It's a fine 90s dancing. But there's a, they got a new a lurker there. A Spike starts watching them.
Yep.
Here's that where everybody is real quick. He orders a Big Ugly there to go eat something, but it was only so he could study Buffy's fighting techniques. Buffy gets Xander to grab her purse steak because, you know, what else? There's only three other things in the purse. One being a tampon, which Xander was not excited about. He throws Buffy the steak. Big Ugly becomes dust. Spike gives him a hand that he asked for, which is a nice way to enter, of course. He tells Buffy that he's killing her on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why Buffy just didn't rush him then, but, you know, she said, okay, Saturday, I had nothing else to do. Sheila's leaving a bar again.
Yeah.
She's 16, if you might remember. She's with two dudes. One says that he has a Cadillac or a cad, as she calls it, a cad.
I have never heard a Cadillac referred to as a cad ever in my life.
I was honestly disturbed when she said that. I was like, this isn't right. This is not right. Yeah, not everything.
I grew up around cars. My dad owned an auto repair business. I have never heard a Cadillac referred to as a cad.
A caddy? Ever. A caddy, sure.
Caddy, sure. Yeah. A cad? No.
A cad? And what? So, anyways, her two potential long-term commitments disappear, though, Adelia. In their place was Spike. She falls him off. As we see, her newly dead acquaintances, like, literally, a foot away from her, like she didn't notice that her two potential long-term friends were just dead husks in front of her.
Yeah,
like literally beside her. I don't know how. Anyways, at the library, Giles is confused by Spike's name. He says he may have used other names in the past. We'll find out. Xander suggests running. Willow suggests hiding. Of running or hiding, which would you prefer?
Running.
I'd prefer hiding. Less running involved.
Less running involved, more chance of being discovered.
Oh, that's true. As Giles mentions that Spike can't be worse than any other creature she's faced, Angel interrupts, says he's worse. He doesn't stop until everything in his past is dead. Buffy and Angel play a quick game of, I thought you were like, oh, weren't you going to the Bronze? Like, oh, weren't you going to stay home? Blah, blah, blah. Ugh. Willow does the calculations out loud of 200 years of dating. Only even if she's only dating two people a year, then catches herself mid-sentence and says, oh, why do they call it a mace? So you know what I did? I figured out why they call it a mace.
Okay.
Yeah. It's it gets its name from the Middle French "mas d'arm" and the Latin "metiola," originally referred to as an agricultural implement. But what she's actually looking at, like I thought, was a morning star. That's not morning star; it's just a name of a mace. That's actually a flail. That was a flail there. So there you go.
Okay.
That is your medieval weaponry minute right here on Rewatchers Council. Thank you. Thank you again, everybody. Giles asks Angel if Spike has ever gone by another name. But Angel had already Irish goodbye to them. And Xander says, oh, that's it. I'm putting a collar and a little bell on that guy. I like that. Next, we're in Drew's room. She has some gag dolls in there, and she's speaking to them. Spike shows up, and we find the reason for why they've come to Sunnydale. It's for the Hellmouth to help cure Drusilla from her madness or whatever it is. They talk on the bed, and then we see Sheila bound and gagged. Spike leaves to join the Unpleasants. Drew then eats Sheila. So there you go. Well, she had a good run as a human being. Yeah, what is it, 20 minutes of show, 15 minutes of show. Buffy is, I wrote down, ineloquently dicing a cucumber with a machete. Not the best slices. A little uneven, some very thick slices I saw. But later on, you'll see like the actual veggie platter, and it looks pretty nice. Except one thing really bugs me about it.
What?
They cut like the pepper rings into one whole ring. Like, who eats an entire huge pepper ring? Like, it's a huge onion ring. Anyways, there's all the gang are at the library. They're including Cordelia. So I guess this may be like the unofficial beginning of Cordelia as a Scoob, but who knows? So she's their Whitley Spike.
I was wondering as they were doing that, I was like, why is Cordelia suddenly here?
And then she starts complaining about how her hand's going numb after about 3 minutes and wants to go. Then she asks why they need all these weapons when Spike is really that tough. It's going to be over very quick, but she's still rooting for Buffy Saturday, which is nice.
Craziest things Cordelia said so far.
It's parent teacher time. Buffy made sugarless lemonade.
I can't imagine having sugarless lemonade. That must have been horrible.
I was at Epcot Center, and this would have been 92 or 93, and we were up drinking all night. We go. It was setting a record for heat in Florida at that time. I think it was in February, March. We went on a long. We were just about to go on a long ride. I went and got an iced tea.
Okay.
Now in America, I didn't know that iced tea didn't have sugar. In Canada, it has sugar. So it's sweet. Oh,
yeah. There's a difference between iced tea and sweet tea.
Yeah. And this is like, had the lemon in it and stuff like that. And I could literally feel my body corpsing away. Like, I could feel myself drying out. I was timber, but it was a 45 minute ride we went on to. Oh, my God. One of the worst. Anyways, Joey shows up and gets whisked away by Willow. Snyder asks if that was Buffy's mom. Buffy tells him that she doesn't speak a word of English, which is a good cover. It's a good cover there. later, Cordy shows up, tells Buffy she's looking slagged.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Sometimes they just went for words and it's like, oh, maybe this will catch on too. Slagged, I don't believe did.
No.
Cordy notices Buffy's mom. Ask her if knowing how to moisturize skips a generation. I did enjoy that. Snyder comes in and meets Buffy's mom. They leave to talk. Cordy seems quite pleased with this. It's like, oh, someone's getting in trouble. She's one of those girls, Adelia. Back at the library, Giles has found some of Spike's history. Now, he was known as William the Bloody. That's true. And that he was named Spike because he tortured victims with railroad spikes. It really seems... All right. It's like, could be worse things to get tortured with, I guess.
Could be worse things, but yeah, not good. Not good.
And they find out he's only 200 years old, Adelia. And that indeed, he has killed two slayers. Back at the student lounge, Joyce is looking a little pissed. Tells Buffy to go get in the car. Snyder, looking very pleased with himself. Now, if you remember that scene, there are lots of teachers and parents in that student lounge. Snyder just turns out all the lights.
I know. What is happening?
I'll turn out this light. I'll make my way around this table. I'm going to turn off this light, leave these poor suckers in the dark. And that's exactly when Spike jumps in. I guess he couldn't, you know, like those families that open Christmas presents on Christmas Eve, Adela. He just couldn't wait for the night of St. Vegas, even if it was one night away. Now, Buffy has to protect her mom. So, leads her down the hall. Cordy gets grabbed, of course. Willow then hits him with a large bust of somebody in the head, which I did enjoy that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Giles, Jenny, and Xander step out of the library, get told what's happening, and go right back in the library just before a clumsy vamp could get them. I said clumsy. I don't know. Awkward, I think it is. Just the way she was awkward. Running.
Yeah.
With her arms swinging like this. Who does that?
Don't know.
Buffy leads her mom, Snyder, and some others to another classroom and barricaded. Now, Spike's updated is what's happening. He's unhappy that they're unsure where the Slayer is. So he just snaps the guy's neck. And that sound was gross.
Yes, it was.
Also, it was a pretty, like, that looks like that guy's head was twisted around, too, and stuff like that. That was gnarly. Anyways, but they did make him feel better. But that made him feel better, I should say. Now, the vamps have cut the phone lines. This is when we could still do that. And the electricity. Mm-hmm. Giles suddenly remembers that there's an old boarded-up entrance to the cellar in the library for some reason. All this time.
Giles, come on.
What's he doing? He's holding out. He gets Xander to use it to go find Angel. And now in Buffy's class, Joyce is wondering if there's something wrong with the intruder's faces. Snyder says, yes, PCP. It's a gang on PCP, Adelia.
Yeah, I don't know that would make their faces look like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I'm thinking that this even goes back to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie at the end or whatever. I'm pretty sure it was the shenanigans at the school were blamed on a gang of PCP. Buffy says, Snyder wants everyone to leave. Buffy says, no, if you do, they're going to kill you. And he asks her who she thinks she is. And then Buffy says the kick-ass line, I'm the one who knows how to stop them. And then goes through the ceiling again. She is getting some mileage through these ceilings in the early going of this show. Now, Spike is calling for the Slayer in the hallway. He promises to kill her friends and bash her head in with their bones, which is,
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty rude. Just outside the utility closet, Willow and Cordy are locked up in at the time, so oh boy. Cordy's panicking. Spike almost kicks the door in, but another vamp calls him. They hear Buffy going around in the ceiling, and Giles is about to find Buffy. He's about to go leave, just as she crashes into the library. So she's made her way around, crashes into the library. Giles wants to help Buffy, but says, Giles, my mother is in that room. If I don't make it out of here, I know you'll make sure she does. So he snaps it together. Snyder is now pacing. Joyce tells him to sit down. He gets in her face. And then that red shirt guy that was with them decides he has to leave. Snyder goes to help him. Joyce says, that's not what Buffy said to do. Snyder says, she's a student. What does she know? Two men then easily bend back that metal. I don't know what that metal is.
Yeah.
What is that metal for?
No that's idea.
I don't know if that's to keep people out or... strange. People anyways. In. Yeah. They easily bend that stuff back. Spike then pushes a dumb vamp's head face first into the fire axe thing or whatever. Don't like in a case of emergency break glass. Grabs the axe, gives it to the guy. The guy starts breaking through the door, a la The Shining. I thought it would have been funny if he would have said something like that. Spike and two others leave. Snyder and the other guy get the pieces bent back now. The man crawls out halfway, only get eaten right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was eaten, like he was just a third. And I don't know about you, but Snyder is unaffected really by all of this. I don't know if you noticed that.
I've very much noticed that.
Yeah. Anyways, the man is brought out. Joyce is the one to easily push the metal pieces back in and then close the window. Spike and another vampire are listening to Buffy crawling through the ceiling. A lot of this going on. Xander and Angel see the red shirt's body. And Xander asks Angel if he has a plan. Angel grabs him by the neck. And it's a yet another Buffy the Vampire Slayer neck grab. Mm-hmm. I should have had a running total of this too. Be too high. I'd lose count. Xander says, good plan. Spike and the others start stabbing through the ceiling with long metal poles that were just lying around in the student lounge. Poles. I have no, yes.
Something I think they were broken pieces of that window that they came in through.
Maybe. They were sure long.
And they were very long. But I think that's what they were meant to be.
Okay.
Like the frame of the window.
Yes. Yep. Now I'm realizing stuff. But yeah. Okay. I'd still say pretty.
They were very long.
Pretty conveniently strong and long.
Yeah.
I would say for something that just got broken. Anyways. Somehow she gets around all that. Next thing we know, she's crashing down on Axe Guy and dusting him real quick. I thought it was fun that you saw the hand before whatever. And Joyce is supposed to be watching, but I guess it didn't notice. Now, somehow the other vampire who was told to watch the door, who's only maybe 10 feet away, 15 away, feet away,
didn't hear this.
Nothing. Heard nothing.
Heard didn't absolutely hear the crash. Nothing.
Didn't hear the. The dust sound, nothing. All right. So anyways, Buffy is then startled by Sheila. Buffy tells her that the weird guys around are trying to kill him. And Sheila grabs the axe and says, oh, this should be fun. So she's just come to help, which is nice. Spike and the others are still ceiling stabbing. And then Spike notices Angelus. Angelus, Adelia. Not Angelus. Angelus. Angel has Xander in a headlock still. They talk like they're old buddies. Angel tells Spike that Buffy's tough, but not too bright. He said he gave her the puppy dog eye act. Spike can't believe people are still falling for that Anne Rice shtick. Xander says, see ya. He always knew Angel was a liar. An Angel offers Xander to Spike for food. Buffy's still with Sheila. She pulls out a spike to kill Hallway Guy. But we see Sheila become a vampire, which is, didn't see it coming. But Giles warns her just in time.
I totally saw it coming.
Oh, did you? Snaps a Hallway Guy's neck or whatever, or just snap. Sorry, he jumps into the fight as well. Buffy gives him the whole axe steak prestige, which I always like or whatever. Throw the axe. What? And it snaps one on one between our two detention pals, but Sheila runs off. Buffy just get her mom and the others out. Spike starts interrogating Angel, asking him if he's become a housebroken. Angel says he saw her kill the master. It looks like everything's cool between them and that they're going to be sharing some Chateau de Xander. But Spike then just punches Angel, asking if he thought he could fool him. He then says, you were my sire, man. You were my Yoda.
Yeah.
Now, yes. When it comes to that, they have like a Star Wars almost based looseness when it comes to their own canon. They will make whatever work for them. I believe they start saying like sire is like someone who's like a teacher or something like that. I think he said that in interviews. It's like all right, whatever. I don't. It's just covering. It was just. You just wanted to write around something and just say it. I don't give a shit. Xander and Angel leave. The three vamps with Spike chase up behind them. Now, Spike starts saying fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of a nice, bright girl. Now, that is not how I remember Jack and the Beanstalk at all.
No.
No. He and Buffy drop their weapons. He tells her that the last Slayer he killed begged for her life. Also, remember, Spike is, what is it called? He's not the best at narration and stuff like that. He isn't, he may be a bragger, but he's also a liar. He says things.
He's an unreliable narrator, I think that's what it is.
That's the word I was looking for. She does seem very unimpressed. He tells her he'll make it quick and that it won't hurt a bit. She says, no, it's going to hurt a lot. So it's fight time. Buffy and Spike inside. Angel, Xander, and the others outside. Giles starts leading everybody else out. But Joyce, of course, goes rogue because, you know, Buffy had to get it from somewhere. The vamps fighting Xander and Angel run off. Spike has knocked down Buffy and is about to finish her with a 2x4 that he just pulled out of the wall or whatever. All right. But an axe broadsides him in the head. You get the hell away from my daughter, Joyce says. Spike weirdly just runs off. Joyce says, nobody lays a hand on my little girl. So way to go, Joyce.
Great moment for Joyce there.
Yes. Snyder meets up with Police Chief Bob. He's played by a guy named Brian Reddy. He was, again, Law and Order, SVU, Enterprise. He was in Gilmore Girls. He was also in Seinfeld. I do remember Seinfeld, but I can't remember the episode. These two seem to know each other. Jenny and Giles start leaving the school arm in arm. Oh, boy. Xander questions Angels, and if he would actually have let Spike bite him. Angel says he had to know Spike bought Angel's act, and if he bit him, it meant he bought it. So there you go. Then Xander asks the pertinent question. Yeah, what's the deal with you being Spike's sire? Also, what's a sire? So
yeah.
I guess we're going to find that out soon enough. Now, Snyder and Chief Bob are talking about what to tell the media. Bob asks if they should use the usual gang-related PCP. Snyder says, what do you have in mind, the truth? And the guy says, yeah, gang-related PCP. So Snyder knows more than he ever lets on. Buffy and Joyce are leaving. Buffy wants to know what she and Snyder talked about. Joyce said, he says, Buffy is a troublemaker, but she could care less. She's going to sleep better knowing Buffy can take care of herself and others in a crisis, which is a nice thing for her to say. And it looks like Buffy's going to get about a week and a half grace period when it comes to getting in trouble, which is nice. Yeah. Meanwhile, Willow and Cordy still in the janitor's closet. Cordy is praying, promising not to be mean to anyone ever again, unless they deserve it, or if it's that time of the month, Adelia, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of two better people to be locked in the closet together. Now,
Willow asked her to pray for aspirin. Made me laugh.
Last scene, it's morning. But Spike and Drew are talking in the abandoned warehouse hideout place. There's a broken window with sunlight coming through it. He said he wasn't expecting the Slayer to have so many friends or something like that. Friends and family. Yeah, friends and family. Yeah. All right. Drew assures him that he'll kill her. He goes to speak to the Anointed One. The vampire with him tells Spike he should die for ruining St. Vigia's Day. They take it very seriously. He tells him, I was rash. And if he ever had to do it all over again, Adelia, he'd do it the exact same, except, and then he grabs poor Colin the Anointed, throws him into that convenient cage on a pulley, and then, lifts him to his burning doom. Says less rituals, more fun around here. And then Spike and Drew go to watch TV. Now, were you sad to see the end of the Anointed?
No.
I don't think anybody was. They, they had planned on a bigger storyline for the Anointed throughout the season. But the problem is when you get a child to become an immortal being, it's hard to keep the veil when the child's voice starts cracking. So he grew, he literally grew out of the role. And so that's it. Well, we'll try the Spike guy for a bit. So anyways, that's it. That's it for School Bad. One of my favorite episodes. School Hard. Oh, sorry, School Hard. What is this school? Oh, because I was thinking about another one. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that one in the fourth year. Anyways, yeah, School Hard. One of my favorite episodes. Back to more single kind of stuff going on with the Inca Mummy Girl next time. A very Xander-ish episode. Of course, Xander just can't get a break when it comes to certain things. We'll find out next time on Inca Mummy Girl. Adelia, thank you for joining us. And
of course,
how, where, how? I know how you're on through the magic of cameras, but where are you on the good old LGRN network?
Other than this show, every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, I am on the Starting 11 every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, on the Highlights Sports Channel. There's a link to that in the description of this episode. And I'm going to be taking some time off from the Open Table and some other stuff. So, but still check it out every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific. Ferris is going to have some fun stuff planned for that. So,
fun. All right. So, as for me, yes, Starting 11, fantastic. This show, fantastic. LGRN After Snark Weekends with Danny talking about whatever. I think the next one we're doing, if you're watching this as it comes out on Thursday, it'll be about the future of Lucasfilm. I believe that's what we're talking about. And then what else we got? We got the video game series going on. Old Man Plays Doom for the first time. It's like, oh, terrible name. It's an awful name. You know what it should have been? It should have been like Seductive Man Plays Doom for the First Time. That would have been a cool title. Way cooler than that, the one we have. And then, also, I think we were playing some Star Wars Battlefront Classic. We'll have that. I think we were done a little dirty by Danny with the skill level, possibly.
Yeah.
And when the show comes out, be sure to be there for Adelia's Adventures in Flight.
and the, like, 10 to 15 minutes we spent with me on my character on camera just standing there because I gave up and Danny couldn't end the level fast enough.
It's too funny. Well, I couldn't do shit either, so there you go. Yes. Anyways, thanks everyone for watching.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. No. I want
to
hear what
you have. I was just going to say that Battlefront stream will be uploaded to YouTube soon.
It's something. We're gonna knock down the AI on that for sure. Like, there's no way we have to be expert on this thing. Like, after not playing it for 20 years and you never played
it. I'd never played it.
Unbelievable. Anyways, thanks everyone for watching Inca Mummy Girl next time, and we will see you later.